Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. Or take your pick, 1979 or 1975, depending on how you view the exodus out of Iran or Vietnam. That's right. Taliban blocks access to Kabul airport. Biden, you know, he's AWOL. He hasn't been seen. Of course, all of that taking place along with the Department of Justice going after people who, going after the conservatives and going after the people who are speaking out against the clot shot and so-called disinformation or misinformation agents, which is what we're going to be talking about this show today. I want to just scheduling note. Listen to me, okay? I said yesterday, Randy Taylor's coming back. We'll be back on occasion. However, this is due to scheduling conflicts. Speaking of scheduling conflicts, on Friday, I've got to, I'm going to be at the oral surgeon's on Friday, so I'm not going to be able to talk for that day. That makes my wife immensely happy. So having said that, there won't be a show on Friday. So what we did do is we, Richard Proctor, as usual, is on hour one today, and, Health Masters is on hour two, Austin Brower. So that's our show for today. No show on Friday. This will replay on Friday. Okay, just so you people know. And don't get excited. Don't, oh, there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong, okay, except for a few injuries to my jaw. But having said that, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. ProvisInstitute.com, talking about, right before airtime, we're talking about the clot shot, the mandates, these unconstitutional, insane edicts. Along with, what's going on in DC, you know, we haven't really visited that. You got, 450 plus visitors and, or 450 plus, prisoners, not visitors, prisoners in, DC jails, you know, from, DC jail coming from, stemming from the 1-6 disturbance. And, you also have the Capitol still surrounded by, you know, the People's House, still surrounded by, the fencing and barbed wire and such. So, you know, it's still crazy. It's what in DC. And of course, you know, about DC statehood and all that stuff. So clot shots, DC statehood, what's going on in DC really has to, we have to kind of bring that to the forefront again, as well as, you know, the, globalists, their intent to make DC a state. And is that even constitutional? Of course not. But we're living in a post-constitutional world, as Richard Proctor knows. But he's the author of Saving the Constitution. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. That's P-R-O-V-I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. There you can get all of his books. You can get, you can sign up to be a Patreon member. You can sign up for his, or subscribe to Rumble and get the podcast, his weekly podcast. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. It's all there. You have to go to Patreon, of course, and go to Provis. But it's there. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Richard Proctor, welcome, sir.
Good to be here. I enjoy coming to chat with you and the folks that are out there that want to chat with us. That's outstanding.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this week, over the past week, we've seen the implementation of, if you don't have proof of your, or if you don't have the Excelsior Pass, we'll go to New York City. You don't have the Excelsior Pass. The New York City government is mandating, or telling businesses, restaurants and such, you can't let those people in. What in the world is going on here?
New York is completely out of focus. What do you mean telling a business they can't do this and can't do that and can't do the other? Businesses are private property, just the same as anybody else's private property. Government has no rights to tell anybody what their private property is. Now, when I use the word rights in this particular case, it's not constitution, it's culture rights. It's our living rights. It's American rights. It's a, while we are as a country, a people, a culture. You see, New York's been one of the worst city. New York City's been one of the worst violators of these kinds of things. They're the ones who started stuff against trans fat. They're the, It just goes on and on and on. And now they're saying you can't come into a restaurant unless you've got proof of a vaccination. Cut and pick. That's not a vaccination. It's an implant. It's a dead shot. It's deathly, deathly. They're talking about scads of deaths beyond even what I want to say at this point. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, not just 50,000 deaths. I don't know. It's just out of control. And the reason that they're doing it is because so many people are resistant. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is a very simple question. If there was a real pandemic, would somebody tell us we have to do stuff? Or would we just do it? If somebody believed that this shot really was, if the people really believed that this shot was valuable and it did what it's supposed to do, there'd be no reason to mandate it. There'd be no reason for passports. There'd be no reason for this. All this is an administrative deal to try to get those of us who are intelligent enough and forward-looking enough to understand that it's a death shot. Now they have to bring in government to force us to have it. If it wasn't a death shot, they wouldn't have to. That's where we are.
You know, we are going to, I believe here's what's in our future. And this is, I mean, I sincerely believe this. I've had some just incredibly disturbing conversations today, disturbing conversations with doctors, with others who have said, it's going to get to a point where you, if you have not received the clot shot, you will not be treated. For example, they won't, and it's not the doctors necessarily, it's the hospitals, it's the healthcare systems that shroud the hospitals. All right. Now, you know, I'm going to talk slow because number one, that's my style. And number two, I want people to understand what I believe is coming. And Richard, please, jump in after this. I believe that there are going to be, if we allow this to happen, two distinctly separate societies or tribes, if you will. One that have the clot shot, wear the masks, wear two masks, wear five masks, whatever it takes, whatever the government tells them to do, and shuns the unwashed, unvaxxed, okay, or unclot shotted, all right, and denies service and gets rewarded by the state, local state, or federal government. And also the punishments will be by the Department of Justice, by the IRS and other attendant government and non-government organizations. And there is a public and private or government and corporate working relationship there. And then there will be, of course, the unwashed masses or the basket of deplorables. And we are going to be the outcasts of society because most of the people who have been brainwashed, either brainwashed or on the take, and getting their pockets lined with cash, getting debt forgiven, getting money, you know, from wherever. So we're dug in on both sides. Meanwhile, the entire world is falling apart because Mr. Marbles out there can't even bring himself to string a sentence or two together, show his face outside of Camp David. Okay. And, the world's on fire because of this moron and the election theft of 2020. So I'm done talking. It's up to you, sir. Go ahead.
Well, you covered a lot of subjects just then. Wow.
I did.
You covered a bunch of stuff. I'm going to wander in on the part of the Department of Justice for a moment. You know, when people ask me, can a business deny me service? I say to them, he has the same right. The business has the same right as you have in your home. You can deny someone entrance into your home. A business can deny someone interest in their business, no matter what the reason. Okay. But when it gets to the Department of Justice, that all falls apart because that becomes a federal government edict, law. I don't care what. It's contrary to our rights. That's the time when it's contrary to our rights. So when somebody says to me, oh, you got to have the Department of Justice going to do this or that or the other, that becomes a communist, a dictatorship, a tyranny, whatever you want to call it. We have now moved from rights like a business has to tyrants in a position of government. Government is force. Government always has been force. Business is not force, but government is force. So when government says something and they're going to punish you for not doing what they say, that's tyranny. Folks, that's tyranny. It's being compared with Nazi. It's being compared with Russia. I don't care what you want to compare it with. You can wander back wherever it is. Whenever government takes over and tells you how to live, that's tyranny, no matter where it is or when it was. And it's not God's way. Did you hear? I didn't say law. I said way. It's not his standard. It's not what Jesus Christ wants. Jesus Christ did not tell people they had to do something. You must do this or I'm going to. He never did that sentence. He taught people and they followed truth, or they didn't follow truth. But he didn't get all bent out of shape if they didn't. He just continued to teach. All right, now let's assume that same position. The government wants us to take a shot. Okay? They should tell us. We recommend it. And that's the end of the subject. But that doesn't have enough force. Therefore, they say, we're going to force you to take the shot. Or we're going to bring people to your home and recommend it. But when those people get there to your home and recommend it, one of them will have a gun and authority to haul you out of your home and run off with you. And the other will have a needle in their hand ready to kill you. Well, that won't be that minute. Should be a few hours later, but it will be.
When you say authority, authority how?
By giving them, by a government, tyranny. That's the authority. Tyranny from a government. Anytime. They have the authority of the tyranny government. I got to say it that way because it's a government that is tyranny. They don't have authority by the Constitution. They don't have authority by law. They don't have authority by anything. They have authority by tyranny. Remember I talked about the sheriff last week here in Davis County, and he said, I'm going to give you your constitutional rights. But he had a caveat at the end. Now I'm going to say the sentence the way he's going to interpret it. I'm going to make sure you have your constitutional rights as long as there's no law against it. What? As long as there's no law against it? State law? Federal law? Either one of them say, no, you can't have your constitutional rights. Then that's tyranny. I'm sorry, guys. That's what it is. It even can go clear down to the city council. If the city council decides they're going to have policemen come by your home and tell you what to do, that's tyranny. It doesn't matter what government. The Declaration of Independence spoke about that very, very clearly. And it said, if any government takes away your inalienable rights, you have a right, duty, responsibility to alter or abolish that government. Now, those are big words. Alter or abolish means change or sometimes it's called revolution. Guys, alter or abolish. You've got to, here's a thought. I'm going to move on to a new thought. This is a thought. Just came to me. By Jove, stuff comes to me. I've been reading about a national walkout. Not lockout, walkout. The way employees get the attention of their employer is they go on strike. That's a walkout. And when they do that, the employer must either change and agree with them to some degree or go bankrupt because there's nobody to work, no money to be made, and nobody's paying him anything. He's lost.
Eric the tech just walked out. Where are you going? Okay, you don't have to get the shot. You don't have to get the shot. Come back. Okay. All right. We just changed corporate policy here. Go ahead, sir.
Eric just walked out. Huh? Anyway, go ahead. Anyway, see, he's a walkout. A walkout is people uniting against the government. Now, what's that? Well, the businesses. Let's point at New York City. I'm going to point at that city right now. That city right now exists It's very confined. All apartments, I mean, it's a tight city. It's a 2020 dream place. They want everybody in apartments tightly controlled. That's New York City. A walkout is I won't go to work. That means government. That means everybody. I won't go to work. So all these leaders that are sitting up deciding how you're going to live all of a sudden have nobody there. Now, it doesn't work if 10 walk out and 90 stay. Doesn't work. If 90 walk out and 10 stay, it'll work, but it'll really work if everybody walks out. Now, let's talk about this if we don't have a walkout or some other nonviolent method of keeping our country free. If we don't do it that way, it won't be very long before we're going to have to lock and load. And I don't want anybody to lock and load. Nobody will come out happy with that. People will be killed for no reason. Well, for a reason, yes, for freedom. That's a reason. But we can get freedom right now without locking and loading if we would just unite. Now, I don't know how we're going to get all the mask people who believe ardently in a mask and ardently in a shot. Ardently and everything. I don't know how we're getting those people to cooperate. But if they don't, they're not going to be treated any different than the rest of us who did. Okay? In other words, if everybody walks out and it's only 10%, it won't do any good. And the business will keep right on going and everybody will say, ha, 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 we got you. And in about 6 months, a year, whatever the date is, everybody, even those who didn't walk out, will all be in the same situation. And that situation is brought forth vividly in the movie Dr. Zhivago. And if I haven't said that once, I've said it 1,000 times. Watch that movie to know what your future will be. I didn't say might be. I said watch it to know what your future will be. Right now, you've got something you can do. At that point, you'll have nothing you can do short of shooting people. And you won't have any guns to do that with either. Knife them. They'll take knives away too. Folks, they throw you in concentration camps. They call them gulags in Russia. They call them concentration camps in Germany and Japan. That's what they are. Now they're calling them health places, isolation camps. It's the same thing, folks. They're going to send you off to an isolation camp. That's a gulag. That is a concentration camp. That's where they put people, political prisoners, not people who are bad, people who won't do what the government says to do. And that becomes your only option. You have options today. Let's keep those options, folks. Let's do something. Recently, I received a document. It was the shield. It's talking about the shield. A shield strategy. Shield now. Shield advantage. It's a document produced by the CDC. Get the date here. June, July, either one, of 2020. Not this year, a year ago, but it's on the books. This is what a shield advantage is, or a shielding technology, or what shielding is about. This is what shielding is. They're going to look around and they're going to look at the high risk people. Oh, high risk. What does high risk mean? This is before the vaccine, by the way. High risk. What does that mean? Well, that means people that are old, you know, old dudes, all the high-risk people. High-risk people are old people. People are more likely to get the disease. High risk. Well, that's me. That's anybody over 60. That's a whole bunch of people. Now, these high-risk people will be isolated from everybody else. That's the shielding. Everybody will be shielded from the high-risk people. Why are they shielding us from the high-risk people? If we get it, are we going to transmit it to other people? Well, if they say we are going to, that's their plan. But what they're really doing is they're isolating everybody else from the old people. They're doing it in your homes. They call them green zones. The green zones are where the high-risk people are put, pretending like they're protecting health. What they're really doing is they're isolating. Now, the green zone will be what I would call the concentration camp. And they'll have a green zone in your home. You have to live in that room. You can't go into another room. I saw that happen in my community. One person was diagnosed as false positive, which of course means positive. False positive means positive. That because that person was diagnosed, the rules came to the home, and everybody who, one of the young ladies in the house had not had any way exposed at all. She was isolated to her bedroom for several weeks.
Who would enforce that? I mean, how is that enforceable?
Her parents enforced it.
So they're morons.
Her parents enforced it. She was in her room for several weeks by herself.
So they're not only morons, they're child abusers.
Well, you know, they're doing what the government's told them to do. See? See the problem? You see it? That's what everybody's saying. The government tells me to do it, so I will. That's what this shielding program is. They're going to shield me by putting me in a room. You can't leave it. Push my food under the door. People aren't even supposed to go in there. Everybody's out. Now, homes, maybe there won't be enough. Maybe there's too many people in a home. Maybe the homes are not big enough to do an isolation like that. So they're going to have neighborhood isolation locations. That's the next step. Right in the shielding approach, right in it. You can read it. The shielding approach says, now, what does that mean? That means that all the old people, all the high risk, remember that's the high risk, are going to go to the green zone, which is a location, building, tent, whatever, in the community. And everybody who's high risk, that doesn't mean they have anything. That just means they're old enough to be risky, or not to be risk, at risk to get the disease. They're all going to be isolated. How come they're isolating the people that are most at risk? Because they want families segregated. They want to destroy. They want to tear apart. And I'll carry on to what would come after. If this happens, I'll carry on in a few moments. That's what the next step would be. Because there's always another step. Once you agree with one step, there's always another one. So here we go. That's a neighborhood. Now that these people, all the high risk, are going to go to the green zone. They're going to be taken there and forced to be in the green zone. They can't leave. Okay? Food will be delivered. They can't leave. They have to clean their own. They have to be their own janitors. They have to take care of. Have to do everything themselves. They're high risk. Nobody else can go there because they're high risk. I don't understand that. That's the analysis. You see, you don't have to understand to write a government report. And this really is a government report. It's many pages long with all the kinds of details that a government report has if they're talking about anything. So now they're putting, but maybe you don't even have enough room in a community. So now they'll have camps. C-A-M-P-S. Camps. Now all the green zone people, all the high risk, will be taken to camps. And again, they're isolated from everybody. These are the steps. First the home, then the neighborhood, then the camp. The camp now, the high risk people, the green zone. That's the concentration camp. Who's there? All the old people. Now, by the way, old people are considered worthless because they're not producing anything. They're retired and they're just goofing off. So they're worthless. Now, after that's done, and everybody has agreed, because the most of these people in this country right now are saying, we'll do whatever you say, government. Salute smartly. We'll just, you tell us to jump, we'll say how high. We're going to do it because you're going to tell us. So they're going to do that. That's what they're doing with the masks. That's what they're doing with the vaccines. That's what they're doing with all these things. Although this was written last year, summer of last year. Okay, so now they didn't say any of what I'm going to talk about now, but it's the next step. Once they have been forced, the old people all in a green zone, then they'll say, oh, but the children, they're really low risk, and we don't want the children to get caught with something. Oh, it'd be terrible if the children got caught. The children are the future of our country. We must protect the children. We've got to protect the children. Now it will not be a green zone. It'll be a protection zone, a protection room, a neighborhood protection building, a neighborhood, a camp protection for the kids. Now taking all the kids into a government protection zone. That'll be the next step, folks. Do you see how that works? All of a sudden, the only people left are the ones in the middle. Well, there's no family.
I'd like to just let people know, you're talking about the document, Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings.
And yes, that is exactly the document I'm talking
right.
about.
And it's on the screen for those watching at home. There you are, level, household level. A specific room, okay, a specific room designated for high-risk individuals who are physically isolated from other HH members. Household members, that is. Okay, neighborhood level, camp sector level. This is my personal favorite, of course, a group of shelters, such as schools, community buildings within a camp or sector, max 50 high-risk individuals per single green zone, where the high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. Sounds to me like there's going to be some lead going downrange in order to enact this. This is my personal view, because they can pound sand, okay? They can pick up their entrails from my driveway, because it ain't happening. Okay, ain't happening. And I'll tell you what, someone tries to enforce this on me, I may go down, but I'm going to take a lot with me.
But you see, now you just changed it to violence.
You're damn right I did. You're damn right I did.
If we get to that point, I guess it is violence, isn't it? That's what's left.
You come to my house and you tell me I can't move from one room to the next. Violence. I will redefine violence for you. Okay.
I agree with you, Doug. I'm against violence, but I'm not against violence when it's necessary. In other words, I would have been one of the champions of the Revolutionary War. Whether I would have been with a gun or not, I would have been a champion. I'd be passing information. I'd be visiting. I'd be doing something that is necessary to be done. If I'd been around during the safety committees, I'd have been one of them there. Now, I don't ride a horse well enough, so I couldn't be Paul Revere or his partner.
Maybe
I could then.
I ride iron horses, and that's good enough for me. But you and me, we're still sucking air. We're still above ground. We can go make a posse and take care of all this.
So I guess you can't do what you want to do on private property.
Well,
that's right. That's right, Derek. You hit it right on the head. You can't do what you want to do on private property. There is none. That's right. By the way, there's no constitution. There's no rights. There's no law. There's no nothing. It's a tyranny. That's what they're talking about. And all we're doing is sitting on our butts saying, well, it'll all go back to normal. No, it won't. That document was not put into effect, but it's still there. It's still available. It's still on the books. It's very well written. It's very precise, exactly what's going to happen to everybody. It only talks about the high risk in this case.
I'm going to know what Muppet wrote this. Okay, let's see. There's no name on this. It's obviously just a CDC-sanctioned document.
Yeah, well, that's good enough. It's a CDC-sanctioned document. Do you know what I did after I looked at that document? I went to CDC website to see what would happen, just to see what was there, just for grins. And I was looking through it, and I got down, and big bingo, there was a picture of a young lady who's pregnant, telling her to go get her vaccine. It's safe. Don't worry about it. Now, I read a document today. 7 million babies have been murdered before birth. It didn't say how, but it's not abortion. It's shots. It's the clot shot, guys. 7 million babies born before they were born died because of shots. But it's safe. Don't worry about it. It's safe. It's effective and it's safe. Oh, my. Look at what's coming. I mean, and we've got people all around us that are buying right into this.
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone, you look around and you can tell who among us, if they lived in Germany in the 1930s, would have followed the orders. You can see, okay? So it's no wonder.
Right.
And that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. And they, who's they? They is the International Banking Establishment. They, the Rothschilds, the Lazars, the Harrimans, the House, the Kuhn Loeb, that group of people, they're all named in my volume in the preface. That group of people and their descendants are who's watching. And they're saying to themselves, well, they bought into that one. Let's do the next one. In this case, the next one is the kids. And now they got three groups all isolated from one another. They're going to teach the kids. Oh, yes, they are. They're going to turn them into, well, they're going to turn them into it. They'll have complete control. Parents will have no jurisdiction whatsoever. They won't even be where the parents are. Parents will be isolated from all their children.
Well, we're seeing some pushback at the local school board level, just so you know.
Yes, we are. I understand that. But we're not seeing enough. We're seeing some pushback. We're seeing people who are understanding. But if you go into the particular community, the pushback is what, 50 people of a community of 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't that what you just said? Yeah. Pushback? 50 out of 1,000, isn't that a good number? Probably. So what are the other 950 doing? Whatever the government says.
Well, I would say most of them. Yeah. There's a segment who just don't do anything. There are three types of people I like to say. People that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people that wonder what the hell just happened. And I think, it's a mixture of both, but,
yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, a mixture but of three. I was in Home Depot this last week. Now, in my neighborhood, the Home Depot, business in the middle of the summer, well, still in the middle of the summer, a few months ago, they stopped any mask mandates in that Home Depot store at all. None. Nobody had to wear a mask. Employees, nobody. And I thought, we're starting to come above this thing. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. Well, last week, here I am back in the Home Depot store again, same one. Now, all the employees must wear masks. All employees must. You see, it's a step back. It's a step toward the next one. What's going to be the next step? Everybody who's entered has to have a mask. Now, I'm just going to talk about not the employees in the Walmart. I'm going to talk about the people that's going in with masks. None of them are required. I'm just going to talk about those that are there. And in that case, you've got the people wearing, there were lots of them. There didn't used to be, but now there are lots of them wearing masks in that particular store. Lots. I'm one of the rare, not really the rare ones like I used to be, but it's among the 10, I'm among the 10% or the 20% that are not. Okay. But people are going back. They're gravitating back to it. Why? Because somebody said they should. It's usually a government entity or health department or an edict or something, but they're doing it. There's still those that aren't and aren't paying any attention, but the number that aren't and aren't paying any attention is very small. The people are following what the government tells them to do. And when the governor of our state comes out and says, oh, we've got to wear masks again, it's mandated. No authority, by the way. That's color of law. Has no jurisdiction. He can't do that, but he will. Anyway, he says, you got to wear a mask again. Now I want you to watch how many people put them on just because he said to. And how many people don't. And that number that don't is going to be very small.
You know, I defer to you. You've lived longer than I have. You've experienced more than I have, I'm sure. Different countries and different societies and a whole different, really a whole different lifestyle. My question to you, are people going to become more dogmatic in their positions? The non-mask wearers, the people who realize that masks don't do a damn thing except, stop your spittle from carrying whatever it might be or, cause your face acne and worse. Those people, okay, I guess what I'm asking is, are we going to see any kind of resolution and I mean peaceful resolution to this, or is this going to be, how can I put this? Is this a spark that's going to really create things? Or is there something more that has to happen? Because, frankly, I haven't worn nor will I wear a mask. Okay. I stopped going to a specialist because, you know, I had to wear a mask. I said, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. Okay. Fine. You know, I said, thanks, but no thanks, you know, perhaps to my detriment, but that's my decision. I'll find somebody who doesn't, you know, who's got more brains than that. So I guess, you know, I'm looking here. You tell me, based on your experience, what you think is going to happen here. Because, again, you're more worldly than I am.
I don't know if I'm more worldly. I've been around a long time, been a lot of places, done a lot of things. Okay, here's my feeling. First, we're not there yet, okay? But I'm going to go back into the 1930s in a country called Germany. Now, in the 20s, in a country called Germany, those people were people like you and I, and they arrested a man called Hitler and threw him in prison. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf while he was in prison. Then he was released from prison, but he was given strict instructions. He cannot speak in public. Absolutely cannot do it, period.
That worked well.
Yes, and within 3 years, he was speaking again in public. Did the people accept him? Look at the mobs that did. Look at the people who did accept him. Did he demand their acceptance? No, most of those people went willingly. They wanted to. Did he paint a picture for them that was great? Yes, he did. Did he have the charisma that took to do it? Yes, he did. And so he did it. By himself, did he cause that? No. He had a lot of people join with him. But the point I make is that he went in just a few years, all the way from a prisoner to the Führer of the country. And the people accepted it.
And that's then an interesting take. Interesting take. And I haven't heard that take elsewhere. Good. Okay, keep going.
Now, then he began to look for a culprit. And he decided that all handicapped people and all Jews were the culprits. And he can paint the culprits bad in the Jewish faith because he can say they crucified Christ, or they can say that they have all the wealth and they control everything. And so, you know, here Rothschild, he was a German in 1700s and he had all the wealth and he controlled everything. Okay. So they can see that stuff. And so the people, the vast majority of the people were not handicapped and they were not Jewish. And not all the people in the Jewish community were wealthy, just very few, but they were all tarred with the same brush. We're going to get them. They're the reason. They're the problem. Now, all the people in Germany banded with the Jews, didn't they? No, they did not. Some did. How many did? Oh, we're going to work with a number of 10, 5, 2%. Rest of them went down the road with Hitler. Did they? They say they did not know. Folks, the odor from those prison camps was horrible, and it wasn't very far off the highways. They couldn't not know. They did know all the Jews that were taken from their community. They did know all the people that were taken. They're gone. Where did they go? I don't know, and I don't care. I'm not there. I'm not there, so I don't care. Folks, I'm sorry. Doug, I believe if things go the direction they're going, that the majority of the people will get on board what's going, and the rest of us who are not getting going on board are going to be in the camps.
Okay, and this is a very serious subject, folks, because you heard from the CDC directive that there are planned camps, and of course FEMA planned camps, and the way it's going right now, I see where, you know, any unvaxxed person would be placed in that because of the public health safety risk that they allegedly, ostensibly pose, this by the left and by the globalists. So, but to get a person from their home to the camp, Okay, that's going to be, there's a whole lot that can happen these days with the knowledge of the 30s that you pointed out. To me, there's a whole, that, especially since we're still armed. Okay, this to me would be a death sentence for many who would try. Okay, now again, might not get them all, but there are going to be a number of these people who won't make it home to see their families that night. You know, the enforcers. Just now, saying.
Now here's another way for people to get a feel of what this is. I'm back to another movie, you guys. I like movies. Movies illustrate points. They're entertainment, but they illustrate points. This one is called V. Just that letter, V, that's all. X, you know, X, W, X, Y, Z, V, A. Whatever the alphabet says. S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, V. Just the letter, V. Okay? That's the name of the movie. Pretty long. It was a TV miniseries. Pretty long. Just the first version, not the second version, which is longer than the first. They were all TV series. It's still two or three discs long, the first one. And the next one's five or six discs long. It's a pretty big deal. V, not the second one, the first one. That shows you the very clearly what happens to the community when things become, when somebody in a government position wants something to happen. Shows very clearly how many people rose up against it. It shows it. What they did, it shows it. It gives you an illustration of who went against it. Everybody got on board in that particular movie except those who were valiantly against it. Everybody else was on board, turning in their neighbors, everything. A guy worked. An illustration in this movie is a gardener is working for a particular family and several other in the community. I don't mean just one. He's working for lots of families in that community. Well, that family, this time it was scientists who were being picked on. That family's father was a scientist. One day, the gardener shows up and talks to his wife. He says, "I can no longer garden for you." Why? Because all my other people tell me if I do, they won't hire me. And I've got to have my income, so I won't garden for you. You hear that? One person stood, but everybody else worked out ways to isolate them from everybody else. And then the folks would have come to get them. They did come to get them, in fact, but they tried to get out. They almost got out. Folks, that's what happens. Life's that way. You can't hide behind the bush and say, "Well, it won't be that way now." That is that does take place in the United States. That movie does. It takes place all over the world, but they do the United States as the example. It takes place in the United States. It takes place using the media. Oh, by the way, is our media free to say what it wants to say right now today?
No. I mean, the media is a fifth column.
There are fifth column people. Fifth column media, like you, are going against the media. I call them the alphabet media. The alphabet media does what they're told to do, and that's it. Or they're penalized. They lose their job. They lose their career. You either do it or you're out. So to not be out, they do it. What do? They just say the words they've been given to say. They may not agree with them, but they say them nonetheless. The media is the outlet to teach us. How many people in our community are listening with gusto? And this time the community means the United States community. How many people are listening with gusto, meaning to looking for it? How many are looking for truth? How many have turned off their alphabet media and are tuning into the alternate media? How many? Oh, a few hundred thousand.
Well,
maybe it'll even go to a million. But
let me pose that question a little differently. how many people have turned off the mainstream media, are listening, but don't know how, don't know when, or don't know, don't know how to act or react, or aren't sure, or aren't comfortable in reacting or acting. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know. I understand okay. that.
All right.
Not comfortable, not sure. It's not difficult to find these people. Everybody in my neighborhood knows what I do and who I am and what I stand for and what goes on. Everybody here knows it. Therefore, all they have to do is ask me, and I'll tell them what to do, how to do it. And that everybody who's doing the same. One of the fellows in the Patreon meeting we had last night, okay, name's Paul. He feels isolated in his community because he knows about the alternate media and he tells people about it. His family, everybody, they isolate him. You see, they know, they isolate him. He knows and they know where to find it if they want to find it. Doug, it's not hidden. If people want to know, there's people they can ask to find out. And everybody who knows me knows that I can help them know it, and I'm not shy about it. Therefore, people are not tuning in to the alternate media. They're tuning in to the media that they know, that they like, that they listen to. They've listened to their life. They're in a habit. Oh, I gotta watch the news. There's some news. But most of it's brainwashing, being told what to say and what to do. And it's followed. They follow it. The people follow it. That's what I'm trying to say. The natural direction here is to go with the flow.
Right.
Don't buck the flow. How do you think the fashion industry survives when they change women's clothing to some of the most uncomfortable things they could ever wear? The women still do it because it's fashion. Well, there are some, but yeah. There are not as many, right? So the fashion industry is huge. As they change, tell somebody to wear high heels, wear shoes, but if they fall, if they don't step right, they'll fall down and break their ankle. But they still get them and wear them. And next time, they're going to have spikes on those heels. So everybody will get the spikes. And the next time, they're going to say low heels. So everybody will get low heels. Whatever the fashion industry says to do, they do. It's common. That's what Penny's. I was in Penny's yesterday. Penny's store is almost nothing but clothing, and most of that's women's clothing. Why is there so much women's clothing? Because women are following the trends more than men are following the trends of clothing. Men follow other trends, don't get me wrong, but clothing is a women's trend. Fashion. Oh, that's out of fashion. I hear that kind of thing all the time. Oh, that was in fashion last year. I've watched teenagers that change what they're wearing because it's fashion. They don't wear nice clothes. They wear some of the sloppiest things you can ever get. They used to be, I called them rags in my day, but now it's the thing to wear. It's fashionable. They follow those fashions. You see what I'm talking about? They're not following their thoughts. They're following what the crowd is doing. They're going with the flow. When these camps start happening, all the people going with the flow will identify those who are not, or they won't pay any attention to them, or they will just leave them to hang by themselves.
Man. Yeah, speaking of that, my daughter came over with a pair of jeans that were ripped by the factory, apparently. You know, it looked like somebody put them through a paper shredder sideways. So, you know, I asked her if she needed money.
She paid big bucks for it. She paid big bucks for it.
Yeah. I was going to offer money for, you know, pants that didn't look like they were put through a paper shredder. But apparently that's the thing, right? So, I see where you're headed with this. And I see that there's this conformity, but it's even worse than conformity. It's worse than the clothes. It's worse than the heels. It's worse than the cultural things that we're talking about a serious delusion over the country. And you said something earlier, and I believe at the epicenter of all this is, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. When we took God out of the schools, when we took the commandments off the walls, when we took the Bibles out of the hotel rooms or whatever it might be, or Bibles out of the out of the families, homes, when we forgot God, these things are, you know, a nation doesn't fare well without God, right? I mean, that's just my view.
Let's think about that for a minute. How did it come about? Precisely, who took God out of all these things for us? Give me the date and who it did it. 1962,
right?
Three, nine people wearing black robes in Washington. And everybody, except those who were rebellious like me, everybody said, okay, that's how it is. That's what we'll do. And then it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You see, we follow the trend, and the trend is who? The trend is being given us what to do is being given us by Rothschild and company, Illuminati and company. They're the people who are telling us what to do, because they want us to follow a certain road, because they know that we'll deliver what they want in the future. You want to see a blueprint for this? Get a hold of the book by House called Philip Drew Administrator. It's not long. It's easy. It doesn't cost much. It's easy to read. Why do I have to say it's easy and it doesn't cost much? Because people won't read anything that's long and does cost a little bit. I was told by the guys, stop writing books that are so long. Nobody will read them. You can't write a book that's over 75,000 words. You got a book here that's 145,000 words. They won't read it.
No, people can barely read above the character limitation on social media, Twitter, or whatever it might be. Yeah.
Right. Reader's Digest writes to I think it's the eighth grade level in the past. I don't know what they write to today. Eighth grade level is what they wrote to. Today, you can't write in cursive. Kids can't understand it. Why? Because the people called the Illuminati don't want them to. It's the pattern. We are following what they want. And this whole thing, this whole pandemic, this whole shots, this whole vaccine, this whole thing is based on what they want. And they pay people to do it, and they penalize people who don't. And there you have it in a nutshell. On the Patreon program, from now on, we're talking about the Liberty series, page by page.
I love that. And give a shout out to your Patreon page, your meetings and such, in the remaining 5-6 minutes we have. Let people know what you have to offer to them, please.
Yes, okay. I didn't know exactly what to do when we started. First, I was just going to talk about the Constitution, answer questions. Well, people don't have very many questions. In the first meeting, I had a little trouble with it because I didn't have any plan beyond their questions. So I talked about things, but I wasn't comfortable with what I was doing exactly. So I thought about that the whole month. Yesterday night, we had our second meeting. And I explained in the beginning of that meeting that from now on, we are going to talk about I didn't say page by page. I said subject by subject, but it turned out to be page by page. What I wrote in the Liberty series, why I wrote it, what led up to it, what the background is, all the stuff I don't talk about anywhere else. And I did promise them this too. The things we talk about on Patreon, I'm not going to talk about on the Hagman Show or in the podcast or in the seminars. I'm talking about this in the Hagman Show. This is special for those people. I am providing my insight to everything that is written in that book. You should see my copy that I have here on the table. If you could see it, I have it right here. This one I used last night. I was gonna go through it. Let me see. That's page 17. I just turned to page 17. Now, can you see? Can anybody see all the red that's on page 16? I don't know if you can see it or not. Do you see that? I went through the pages. And I wrote down all the red stuff over and over. Can you see the red? I'm going through it myself, picking out the stuff I think's important. We talked about rights last night. Who wrote that? That's in 5,000 Year Leap. Why it's here. What it's about. What are the rights we don't have? Okay, we did. We talked about the preface. The preface. Look at the red. And right here, you can't see the red. But right here are all the names that I just gave you. Who's doing what to us? And I explained why I wrote the preface. That was last night. Next week, we start on page 17.
I love it.
And we're going to talk about the details of the book. We're not talking about, oh, well, I can just listen to Hagman. No, you can't, because I'm not going to talk about these things. Oh, I'll cover them a little bit. We did. We talked a little bit, but not the depth that we're going to talk about in the Patreon group.
And I wouldn't have it any other way, because this is your proprietary information.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. But it's more than that. It's the background of why those things happened. Why did I write that preface? The question why. You know, the question why is very, very important. You know how few people ask why? They ask who, what, when, and where. Why is one of them, but why never comes up. There's a book that I read, very, very, I've read lots of books, but this particular one I'm going to point out. I'm not going to give the name, I'm just going to talk about the book. The book went through a particular subject in detail, a subject that's very important in our society, and it's very important to you and I. And he did an excellent job of who, what, where, and when, but not one subject about why. Not one question about why.
Motive. It's an elusive topic.
Why? For example, let's talk about the Supreme Court, 1962 and 63, when they decided to take the God out of the schools. Those are the two dates, Brown versus it's in the Liberty Series, Volume 4. But anyway, see, so that's when they decided. Now, everybody knows what they decided, and we can see all the results of it and all of them. Why did they decide? Because a lady, one person brought it up? No, that didn't happen because one person brought it up. Why did they decide? And the why is the most important piece of it. The why, I'm going to go to another why. A man by the name of Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts. He's up there right now, isn't he? He was against Obamacare firmly. And everybody that was anybody that was watching this knew that he was going to be the swing vote that would bring it down and we wouldn't have Obamacare anymore. Okay, he didn't do it. The next day he wrote Call It a Tax and now it's legal. Why? Why did he do that?
Good question. And for the answer, let's leave that for your Patreon meetings.
Yep, that's right. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
That's what we talk about. The whys, the hows, not the what, when, where, and who. We'll talk about those too, because they're not available to anybody in school either. But that's what we're going to do all the way through all six volumes, one page at a time. We're going to go through those books. And nowhere else will I talk about those things.
Folks, sign up for Richard Proctor's Patreon meetings. You go to provisinstitute.com, but his Patreon meeting is separate. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. There it is on your screen. I want to thank you very much for your insight into today's topical current events, especially with the clot shot and what you see coming and what where we're at. Very insightful. Also, Richard Proctor has weekly podcast, which you've got to hear, folks. You've got to hear it, as well as all of his books, from Saving the Constitution to the Liberty Series. Richard, I appreciate you very much. I really do. You're a man of honor. You're a man of integrity, and you're unwavering in your patriotism and your support for this country.
I tried very hard to be exactly what you just said. I'm trying not to disappoint anybody. No. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best I can.
I hear you, brother. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being flexible on your schedule again, folks. I'm going to be in, I have to have some oral surgery done on Friday. So thank you, Richard, for being flexible. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate you. And with that, may God have, may you have a great night, and God bless you, my friend.
Take care. Thank you. We'll see you next Wednesday. We'll do it again.
All right, sir. Yeah. All right, folks. Again, just so you know, we're moving Austin Brewer up to Friday because of the because of my schedule on Friday. As some of you might know, I sustained an injury when I took a tumble and I messed up my jaw, my teeth, my jaw, my real teeth, my real jaw, my real bones in my face. Not that it was good before. Okay, so I asked him, I said, make me look like Harrison Ford or something. Yeah. So I'm trying to get this done in steps to the extent possible. So That's why we're having a schedule change. All right. So, again, Friday is going to be dark. It'll be a replay of this broadcast. Before I get to Austin Brewer, I just want to mention this. You know, today, I've got to tell you, when we look at our lives today, you know, hang on just one second here. Let me get to this because this is so important to me. One of the things that's very important to me is protecting my family. And how many people out there, think about this? You know, we enjoy a certain, well, we afford our families a certain level of, what would you call it? Lifestyles. As we are the money makers, perhaps, or even if you're a homemaker. When I say a homemaker, I'm talking about taking care of business at home. You've got children to take care of, perhaps, or maybe just the house. You pay the bills. What would happen if something happened to you? Or what would happen if, you know, something happened to the person bringing in the money? You know, we are as well too. We're prepping for back to school season, are we not? We're kind of in that mode. I want you to slide securing life insurance into that to-do list as you get the kids ready to go back to school. I want you to do that. Again, slide it between that purchase of school supplies and whatever else, whether it's a protractor and number two pencils. See, or a slide rule. How's that in number two pencils? I'm showing my age. But look, put this on your list. Life insurance. Protect your family. Protect those who you would leave behind. And I'm really serious about this. I'm very serious about life insurance. Again, I was a captive agent for a short period of time way back in a previous life. And I know how important life insurance is. Personally, I've delivered checks to people who have lost loved ones. And that paid not just for their final expenses, but that saved their bacon. That saved the way their lifestyle. They could stay in the house that they were at. So this is very serious to me. And I talk to my family and I talk to the people here who work at the Hagman Studios about Policy Genius. There's one place I would go today for life insurance, and that is Policy Genius. Again, if someone relies on your financial support, whether it's a child, aging parent, business partner, whatever, you need life insurance. Again, properly providing for your families. Most people, they need about 10 times the life insurance coverage than they get through their employer. That's just kind of a rule of thumb thing. Just kind of think about that. Well, Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. And why compare? Well, when I was a captive agent, I didn't want anyone comparing. The reason you compare, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam for a simple phone call. That's right. Boy, when I remember back in the day, that wasn't even possible. Well, here's how it works. Oh, I should say this too. This exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes, higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Besta. Now, here's how it works. Getting started is easy. First, head to policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. Policy Genius doesn't add on extra fees. No, they don't. Folks, look on your screen. Head to policygenius.com right now to get started. Policy Genius. When it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. You know, speaking about getting it right, there's one guy that I know gets it right 99% of the time. You know, no one's perfect, right? So 99% of the time. And that's Austin Brewer. And what they do get right, especially, is your health in terms of offering quality supplements. And not only do they offer quality supplements, they offer things like food buckets. They offer distillers, Himalayan salt, for crying out loud. Their product list is amazing. I want you to go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com and order your nutritional supplements from them. You're going to feel better. You're going to be more focused. You're going to build your immune system. And we know how important that is today, right? Building your immune system. And while you're there, do me a favor. Look on the top right of healthmasters.com website in the blue there. There is a link to their hour-long show, Monday through Friday, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, premier father-son radio show on the internet and on Global Star Radio. I'm telling you right now, you've got to listen to their shows. It's an hour-long packed information download. So one guy that gets it right, again, 99% of the time, is Austin Brower. Austin Brower from Health Masters. How you doing, Austin?
Yes, my friend, absolutely blessed and busy as always right now. And crazy stuff has been going on all around the place over the last couple days, as I'm sure you have seen. And I've been encouraging everybody to make sure that they are getting themselves together, making sure they are prepped properly, and make sure that we're getting the truth and the knowledge out to the people as best we possibly can, because there's no doubt about it. The narrative, the mainstream narrative, is collapsing very quickly. That's one of the reasons I think this entire debacle was pre-orchestrated with Afghanistan. And I was talking to one of my retired Army buddies the other day about it. And nobody believes this thing was just we pulled out and all of a sudden the Taliban took over. You couldn't come up with a worse cover story than that. This thing has been well orchestrated from a period of time. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I've been yelling about this for the last year, and it's funny that hardly any mainstream news outlets, actually none, have talked about it. Very few alternative media outlets have talked about it. And it's the fact that we're not leaving Afghanistan. We still have numerous amounts of contractors over there. The Chinese are in Afghanistan. The banker boys are running Afghanistan because Afghanistan has the largest amount of lithium deposits in the entire world, even larger than Bolivia. They also have an estimated 60 million metric tons of copper and 2.2 billion metric tons of iron ore. So this whole thing has been well orchestrated. And I think what a lot of this has done is it's more theater to not only show that the United States is pretty much incapable of handling anything now, because we have this bumbling buffoon who comes out to read a teleprompter and pretty much blames everybody between the squirrel on the sidewalk and the man at the trash station for what happened in Afghanistan. I mean, that whole thing was so embarrassing. And so we're starting to see the real beginning phases of the fall of the United States and essentially the fall of Rome, so to speak. And it's sad to see that. And that's why there's so many people out there now that are questioning the narrative. And that's why it's so important that we continue to get the truth out there. So I appreciate what you're doing. And thank you.
Well, you know, I believe this is an extension of Arab Spring, the Obama, Valerie Jarrett Arab Spring. I believe that this is also a switch, a balance of power switch. I think that the consequences of this, we're going to have we're not going to be the world's reserve currency anymore. China will be. This is going to embolden. I would not want to be on the island of Taiwan at the moment, you know, looking for perhaps some backup. I certainly wouldn't want to be an American in Afghanistan for any reason at any time, but especially today when Mr. Marbles says, well, you know what, I'm not sure we can get you out. We're going to prioritize 30,000+ Afghanis in addition to the Americans. So, you know, screw you. But this is all theater. You're right. And I believe this is all orchestrated. And I think what's coming next is going to be exponentially worse. By the way, the people coming in from Afghanistan, they're not vetted. They're men of military age. And this is an invasion. This is not a refugee situation. That's my view.
Oh, you're absolutely right on it. Ted and I talked about it yesterday. There's been numerous reports of them literally flying giant planefuls of Afghan grown men over here to the United States. We've seen this happening for years, primarily in the Minnesota area. They were bringing up their Dearborn, Michigan area. And you've seen this escalate with the resettlement from Syria. And I think we're starting to see that exact same thing happen right now, because if everybody's done your own research, Sharia Muslim law does not balance with Christianity at all. Sharia law, true hardcore Muslim Sharia law, the only thing that they believe is essentially you believe what we tell you to believe, or we cut your head off. I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And so seeing this happen now and seeing all these groups being brought in the United States, like you just said, while we have Americans still over there, while this whole thing has been a complete and total obfuscation from what's really going on here in the United States, with states and cities completely coming in now and saying, like de Blasio said up in New York, you're not going to go to a gym, you're not going to go to a movie, you're not going to go to a store, pretty much unless you have your vaccine passport. And the thing about this is, what I personally think is going to happen is every news outlet right now in the country is giving full coverage to Afghanistan. What I think is happening right now behind the scenes is, A, we know H.R. Bill, we talked about it the other day on the show, the one that basically is going into detail with giving DHS 4980, H.R. 4980. We talked about it on Monday. And what's interesting about this bill, Doug, and this is something that I found to be quite odd, okay? So the media, COVID doesn't exist all of a sudden. Afghanistan's the primary thing for them to focus on. COVID doesn't exist anymore for the next week. And then they'll come back. Here's the thing that's strange. So H.R. 4980, we talked about it briefly with the title of it, to direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the United States or territory of the United States is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and for other purposes. Now, the weird part about this is, Doug, is this was introduced on August 6th. Okay. And it says right here, as of 8/17, the text has not been received for H.R. 4980. There's no text. I've looked on, I can't find any text on.
Nor can I. Yeah.
Right. And it says, it's got a little disclaimer at the bottom of it. It says, bills are generally sent to the Library of Congress from the GPO, which is the government publishing office, a day or two after they are introduced on the floor of the House or Senate. So what they're saying is, within a day or two of an introduction to the House, the text is available. You can read it. It says delays can occur when there are a large number of bills to prepare or when a very large bill has to be printed. Now, isn't it odd to anybody else that this was introduced on August 6th and now we're coming into almost the third week in August now and there's still no text? And then you have basically Homeland Security putting out the memo last week stating blatantly that they are now considering anybody that questions the COVID guidelines and COVID lockdowns and COVID restrictions a potential terrorist. The very top first paragraph of the details on the DHS summary of terrorism threats to the U.S. homeland, which was issued August 13th, ironically a week after the bill was introduced, this bill that I just mentioned, a week after that bill was introduced, Homeland Security puts out this, and it states, through the remainder of 2021, racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists and anti-authority violent extremists will remain the national threat priority for the United States. These extremists may seek to exploit the emergence of COVID-19 variants by viewing the potential reestablishment of public health restrictions across the United States as rationale to conduct attacks. Conspiracy theories on perceived election fraud and alleged reinstatement and responses to anticipated restrictions relating to the increase of COVID cases. They're blatantly saying, if you don't agree with a stolen election and you don't agree with COVID lockdowns and mandated vaccines, you are a terrorist. Homeland Security just deemed every single person in the country that doesn't go along with the narrative a terrorist. Ironically, a week after a bill is introduced for Homeland Security to be the spearhead in mandating vaccination status on all individuals who fly inside the country or come into the country. Now, I would bet money that there's not a single vaccine status nor one single check on any of those Afghan military-aged men that are flying in the country right now, ironically. But what do you think about this? Like, am I just being overtly paranoid, or does this seem extremely coincidental with the bill introduction, with Homeland Security putting out this memo, with all the stuff that's happening in Afghanistan right now, and sitting here saying anybody that questions COVID lockdowns is essentially a terrorist? What do you think about all this going together?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
All right. I've seen to define a coincidence, I mean, coincidences, again, is something like running into your neighbor at the grocery store when, you know, it's something innocuous. But when you've got this level of coordinated activity, Austin, and I'm pretty rattled today. I got to tell you something. I'm pretty rattled today. I had a conversation with a medical doctor, not in this area, but not that far away either. So, who questioned, why he, okay. And it's not this gentleman. Okay. I'll give you the state. The state is Ohio. Okay. But that's it. And he questioned why he was having patients coming in. He was seeing patients with a high level of the clot shots that were being admitted for these micro clots, and the D dimers were just outrageously, you know, off the charts. Well, someone in this sphere of operation heard that question within 4 days, 5 days. That doctor, that medical doctor, got a phone call from Columbus, Ohio, the capital of Ohio, a particular investigative body demanding to know this doctor's position on the clot shot and why he was talking it down, and wanted to see this doctor in person. Now, I think everything we're seeing here is screen for this mandated lockdown here in this country and separating the unwashed, deplorable, non-vaccinated, non-clot-shotted people versus everyone else. That's what I think is taking place. And I think the influx is an invasion to accelerate this and to exacerbate an already problematic country, divided country, balkanized country. So everything that we're seeing is, I believe, is connected from the release of the bioweapon to the release of the bioweapon in the form of a clot shot to the stolen election to the January 6th, what the Department of Justice is doing to the people who were present at the Capitol on January 6th, to these new variants and alleged variants, and handling this. So here's the bottom line. And again, I'm talking very slowly because I want to be very, very definitive here. I don't think anything's a coincidence. I think this is all related, and it's, which shiny trinket are you going to put your attention on while everything else is taking place? And that's kind of my view on things. But in the meantime, folks, get your immune system, because there is something out there. So get your immune system taken care of by going to healthmasters.com and making sure you've got a solid multivitamin. You've got your solid immune boosters. You've got your solid named vitamins B, C, D3, K2. Do that, because they're the best on the planet. In my view, they'll save your life. They'll improve your quality of life, and they work. So that's kind of, so in a nutshell, plus a little sales pitch, if you will, that's what I believe.
Oh, you're spot on, Doug. And I mean, I've had a lot of good feedback over the last couple of weeks with people that have been getting sick. I mean, invariably, everybody's going to get exposed to this stuff. Whatever they have brewed up in their little crock pot of gadgets and gizmos in their bioweapon lab, they've released some stuff that's very funky. It's nasty. And we've seen things like this in the past, but we've never really seen stuff this contagious. And I don't believe for one second this shot, this injection is preventing any aspect of the virus whatsoever. The idea that this gene therapy, this RNA gene therapy, is suddenly supposed to stop all this when Pfizer blatantly told us it doesn't stop you from getting it and it doesn't stop you from spreading it. Well, de facto, that means it is not a vaccine. That means it's nothing more than essentially treatment if it lowers your symptoms. That's all they claim, and I don't even think it does that. I personally think, from a lot of doctors I've been talking to now, that this thing is causing insane amount of like a spike protein shedding because of what's being injected into the body. And I have more people than I've ever had over the last year and a half now contacting me and saying, dude, you know, you're spot on with this, or you're onto something here. You know, a lot of people last year, I took a ton of flack. I had so many people that were basically sending me hate emails, friends that didn't want to talk to me, because I told them, I said, dude, this is asinine. I said, this COVID virus is a respiratory virus, and there's very easy to treat if you stay ahead of the curve and you keep your levels of vitamin C and D3 and zinc. And Ted and I were talking about it for months. And I said, giving somebody this much power over you in order to keep you safe is completely and totally asinine. And what's going to happen is they're going to do more restrictions, more lockdowns, more controls until they tell everybody to get the shot. And then they're going to tell everybody, you get the shot or else you're going to stay locked down. And exactly what we've been talking about over the last year is exactly what's happening. And it's sad because you and I both, I did not want to be right about any of this. I would have loved to have been extremely wrong about the whole thing. And this was blown over now. It was done. I remember people constantly saying last year, oh, it doesn't matter. Once the election's over, COVID's going to go away. This is all about getting Trump out, which some factors of COVID used the mail-in ballots as a tool for what they wanted to do to steal the election. But that was by no means what the entire aspect of COVID was about. This entire thing has been about a full reset, taking control of the infrastructure, taking control of the food, and taking control of the ability for people to live freely. We now see that China just shut down their main number one port for the United States in North America because they had one case of COVID, and they have a zero COVID policy now, like Australia, meaning if anybody tests positive at any point in time, everything shuts down. Well, I mean, if you really believe that narrative, then I mean, I have some fantastic oceanfront property in Kansas I would love to sell everybody. This whole thing is being done to slow down the giant engine of the world when it comes to parts, when it comes to vehicles, when it comes to supplies, when it comes to foods, when it comes to material. They're slowing everything down. A, in my opinion, to make sure that hyperinflation doesn't occur because of how much money they're injecting in the market. And two, to control the narrative and start having short supplies on everything. One thing that a lot of people don't even think about, like our supplements, we make sure we got a huge batch of all the materials we need, not just raw nutrients. But for example, last year there was a big issue with lids. Lids.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think something about it. Okay. What happens when you finish a product, you have it bottled, and all of a sudden you go, but we have no caps. We can't see the product. What do you do? You can't get the product in, because it's sealed, it's exposed to air, and it's not sanitary, it's not safe. So there's certain things that are starting to occur now, and we're going to start seeing this trickle-down effect that happened last year. It's been occurring, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Now you're starting to see with the vehicle manufacturers, like Ford and GM, they're talking about now in the future, not even doing any type of vehicle inventory on the lot, if anything, very bare minimum, and everything's going to be basically buy to order. I mean, you have to go into the dealership, put in an order to the order bank for a new truck, and then you wait anywhere between 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 months for when it shows up. Because they said it's much more lucrative, it's much more cost effective, they don't have huge amounts of inventory outstanding, and they don't have to put rebates on anything. They can charge full MSRP at all times, and there are no discounts. You see now dealers across the country. I've been seeing people send me videos. I'm really big in the truck industry, vehicle industry. And they've been sending me videos of trucks, F-250s, like XLT work trucks, with $10,000 addendums tagged on top of sticker because they can. And so we're seeing this increase of cost of everything, and it's starting to occur very rapidly. And so they're trying to slow down the inventory all across the world and all across the country to prevent massive hyperinflation, is exactly what you said. This is going into dropping the United States as the world reserve currency. This, they're moving towards this. It's very evident now. It's not hard to see. And so that's why I've encouraged a lot of people. Make sure if you have extra cash that you're wanting to do stuff with. I'm not a big fan of the stock market anymore. I played it in a ton when I was younger. I've done good, lost a lot, made more. It's just, it's pixie dust. It's fairyland. I don't like it. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a pretty big collapse on it in the near future. Now, if they keep injecting money and more money and more money into its stock buybacks, they'll keep propped up for a while. But at the end of the day, if it's not tangible, if it's not gold, if it's not silver, if it's not food buckets, if it's not a pile of ammunition, if it's not a rifle, if it's not canned food, if it's not an MRE, it ain't worth anything. And that's where it's going to start leading to in this country. And, you know, I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and he was getting some food buckets from me. And I try to make sure I keep everybody in the neighborhood and area. You know, I try to encourage everybody to buy food and the best I possibly can, because, you know, the more people that have food around you, the less people you're going to have that are desperate. And I always tell people, I said, even if you don't think, you know, you need some, I said, get a little bit extra here, get a little bit extra there. And here's the thing that a lot of people have to realize. If something occurs, you're going to have to value and basically figure out who you want to allow to come into your circle. Certain people are going to have certain assets and certain tools that other ones may not. For example, you may have a large amount of food supply, but it's just you and your family. Well, you may have one of your buddies who's retired Marine Corps, retired Army, come over and say, listen, you know, I got full kit. I'm weapons qualified. I'm proficient. I can help you guys out with security problems. I only got a case of MREs. I don't know how much food to eat. If you guys help me out, I'll basically help you guys out. Another friend comes over and they say, hey, you know what? I have a bunch of, you know, heirloom seeds. I can help you start growing some food. I need a little bit of help with this. That's how it's going to start going. And so it makes sense right now why everything is still palatable and tenable. It makes sense to try to get prepared the best we possibly can. And that's why I've been encouraging everybody. It's not going to get any cheaper. The supplement prices aren't going down. Food prices aren't going down. Ammo prices aren't changing much. They pretty much flatlined. You're not going to see ammo go much lower than it is right now yet. And what's going to happen is it's going to do exactly what it did last summer. As soon as there's another scare, the panic buying is going to ensue, and the prices are going to skyrocket even higher than they were before, because the cost of product and material is continuing to go up so rapidly. So again, I encourage people, it's that time now that you start getting prepped, and it's that time you start taking care of your body. Build your immune system, keep your body strong, and continue to speak the truth, because a lot of people are starting to wake up right now, Doug.
You know, the older I get, the more important I believe, and even for people who are in their 30s listening to this and watching this, and 20s, 30s, whatever it might be, start taking care of yourself now, because the older you get, the more things break down, all right? And so I encourage you, even especially if you're young, start young with nutritional supplements. Make sure it's balanced. And even though you think, you know, you'll live forever, you're immune from whatever, I get that. All right, I was there too. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to live forever. Things are going to break down, but make that breakdown less often and easy by making sure that you are up on your nutritional supplements from Health Masters. That's the only company I'll deal with, because I know what's in those capsules. I know what's in the product, and it's nothing but the best. And I saw a comment saying, well, you know, I only have like $30 left over at the end of the month. Okay, well, you know, I can't help you. Okay, I can't help you. There's got to be priorities made. And I understand. Look, I understand people. I get the fact that people are on a tight budget right now. Okay, I get that. But I'm going to tell you something. If it's something that you really don't want to skimp on, it's that. It's for your health. Because 30 bucks today might save a $300 bill, 3 years from now. Who knows? But what I'm saying is you need this, and you need to be tough, because we're in for some tough times. I believe that. We're in for some really, really tough times in the short term, not necessarily in the long term. But again, getting back to the issues here, I just see, again, the last guest I was talking about this, I see a dynamic developing where the dogmatic maskers, vaxxers, clones of, I mean, these mindless robots are getting very antagonistic toward those of us who are saying, wait a minute. We don't even know what's in this crap that you're pushing. And we're seeing side effects that the VAERS database, the databases in the European equivalent thereof, showing remarkably high adverse reactions and deaths. So, and as you said, the shedding or transmitting of the spike protein, what in the world is going on with this? And why are so many people, and when in the history, I've seen the cartoons from smallpox or polio, I think it was. I've seen the cartoons from polio where, encourage you to get your vaccinations. But we're not talking about polio here. Or at least the vaccine, which was an actual vaccine. You're talking about experimental genetic modifying therapy, stuff that we don't know what's going to happen. Back then, research was done. Today, not so much. So, I'm seeing this widening chasm, for lack of a better descriptive term, between the sides. And I think that's by design. But I also think that we have to fix this. And Austin, the only way I know how to fix this, if there's no common ground here, is we either have to split up. It's kind of like a divorce. Either end it, all right, amicably or as amicably as possible, or you kill each other in the marriage. And no one wants that. The kids don't want that. The dog doesn't want that. But I'm telling you, I'm seeing something develop here that's really bad. And the one last thing, like you said too, with that bill, there's also from last year, the CDC, the green zones, the self-internment in neighborhood and community internment, camps. Okay. These exist. All right. This policy exists. So I'm really thinking that, our lunch is pretty much cooked. We're going to have to make some decisions and, we're going to have to take a stand. And I hope to God that there's enough of us to prevent violence. I really do.
I'm right there with you on it, Doug. And we had Dr. Carrie Maggie on our show this week, and she said something so succinctly. It's the same thing we talked about. She said, "Civil, peaceful disobedience. Peaceful, civil disobedience is the key tool in all this right now. Noncompliance is essential to the preservation of this republic." For some odd reason, this concept has eluded a large portion of the United States populace, where they think just because somebody says something, you have to do it, which ironically enough, this whole country was built on rebellion and not listening to what people tell you to do when they have when they don't have your best interest in mind. And so we're seeing this stuff, and people have become so blinded by the mainstream media that it saddens me to see so many morons out there in the populace now that are just complete and total lunatics. And I mean, the FDA was very clear when they released the COVID-19 shots. They said, and they put out a whole list of the FDA safety surveillance of COVID-19 vaccine draft working list of possible adverse event outcomes. And here was the list. There's a laundry list. You go down all the way from blood clotting to pericarditis to autoimmune disease to death to pregnancy, birth outcomes, non-anaphylactic allergic reactions, basically arthritis, Kawasaki disease, multi-symptom inflammatory disease, vaccine-enhanced disease, stroke, convulsions, transverse myelitis, Guillain-Barre syndrome. You get nauseous worrying down the list. The FDA said these are possible side effects to look for in the COVID injection once you put it on the populace. But if you watch CNN, they tell you this thing's totally safe. You need to get the shot. You need to get the shot. And it saddens me how so many people have drunk the Kool-Aid and they just go, okay, that's just what we're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. This is what you're going to do. And they just follow along the lines. It's so simple as something of just saying no. If we would have done that last year and people would have been doing what you did and what I did and what Ted did, this whole thing would be in a completely different direction, because the noncompliance would have been a telltale sign to these banker boys and these pharmacologists, and these pharmaceutical companies, that we're not going to comply. We don't care what they say. They obviously don't have our best interest at heart. It's clear this is not about safety or health or protection. I've said this numerous times. Why in the world has there not been one single news show talking about tips you can do to help your immune system stay strong even if you haven't gotten the shot yet? You know, it's funny. If they wanted to promote their vaccine sludge propaganda, why didn't they come out and say, listen, while you're waiting for the shot or while we're getting it ready, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Limit the amounts of white sugar, or basically, you know, sugar that you're putting in your system. Limit the amounts of preservatives. Stay away from stuff like high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oil, stuff that's going to lower your immune system. And make sure you're talking and taking the vitamin C and the D3 and the zinc. It's ironic to me how almost every single doctor who has come out and been extremely vocal about natural treatments and natural supplements, they've almost all been blacklisted. Almost every doctor that I know of that has been very, very vocal and has been going on national shows, they all have the medical boards coming after their licenses now for simply speaking the truth. That is when you know we're in a pickle right now, Doug, is when nobody is allowed to speak the truth and is essentially a crime to talk about what is going on. That is crucial. It's so important that everybody starts standing up for your rights, because we're getting to the point now, you're not going to be able to stand up anymore. They're going to make you live on your knees like a good little peasant if people don't start making a sound and making a difference. Look at all these other countries. Huge protests every single day now. Greece, Italy, China, caution protests, UK, protests, protests, protests. You don't see it hardly any of the mainstream media. We're here in the United States. You need to get your shot. Get your shot right now. Get in line and get your shot. And I'm like, dude, shut up. Stop talking. We got the bumbling buffoon who can't even figure out how to tie his shoes. Complete and total catastrophe in the Middle East right now. And of course, it's about your protection, because we're bringing in Afghan fighting age men to the United States for, you know, your protection. It's nauseating to me to see the lies that they keep trying to push on the people. And what's even more irritating is how much people are buying it. That's why it's crucial. Your listeners, you have to get out there and be vocal about what's going on. You have to get involved in local community, and you have to absolutely stand up for your rights, or else they will not be there left to stand up for pretty soon, though.
Well, you know, what we're seeing happen in New York City with this communist mutant, Warren Wilhelm Jr., otherwise known as Bill de Blasio, saying you have to have an Excelsior pass, which is a vaccine passport, in order to get into restaurants and such. You know, what bothers me is, why aren't the restaurants gathering together and saying, no, 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 we're not going to be doing this. No, we're not your police force. But they're acquiescing to these, ridiculous edicts that are unlawful. They're just at the whim of these communist globalist bastards like Warren Wilhelm, who vacationed or honeymooned in Cuba. Where's the fight in these restaurants? Because if I owned a restaurant in New York City, which I wouldn't, but if I did, there's no way I would engage in this kind of activity. I mean, how is it, Austin, how is it that a faggot wedding in whatever state, you know, when the owners are made, maybe that's when we should have really stood up, when the owners were made to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, and my apologies to of course, that's what they call themselves. So I'm not, no apologies here. I mean, you know, this tells, I think that, again, man, this is going to be a bummer of a show if you want to get, like, you know, really, really optimistic about the future of this country. But I'm not seeing any kind of rational, Austin, any kind of rational cohesiveness among the people who know what's going on and saying, no, we can't do this. I see things popping up here and there. But again, you know, the people who have the power to say, no, are just rolling over. Oh, it's just this. It's just, it all started with, it's just a mask, or it's just a wedding cake, or it's just this. And it's always just this. Or it's just a bump stock. I don't use them anyway. You know, it's that creeping nature of things. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting it. And I don't have a good feeling about where this is going. And you know what? I don't have a good feeling about our future, your future, my future on the air. I really don't. I'm expecting.
There's definitely a big divide in this country right now. We're seeing that. And it's pretty much come down to two groups. You have the peasants and you have the awake patriot Americans that are no longer playing the game anymore. That's pretty much the only really groups we have. And you have one side that's trying to force all of us to do what they tell us. And you have our side saying, we want to be left alone peacefully. Don't bother me. Let me live in peace. And so it's funny, if you look back at history, because they always say history repeats itself. Every single time there's a massive conflict and there is a massive fall of an empire and there's a massive war, every single time, it always comes down to one group trying to bully another group. In essence, that's always what it comes down to. And so we're seeing the beginning phases of the next civil war in the United States. Unfortunately, it's coming. It's something that I dread. I hope we can push it off as long as possible. But everything is turning into a powder keg. And I mean, when you have the U.S. government giving drones and Max Pro MRAPs and belt-fed machine guns and heavy weapons and helicopters to known Muslim terrorists in the Middle East, and they're handing them tens of thousands of machine guns. At the same time, you have ATF saying they want to grade our AR-15s and tell us if the accessories make it illegal, if the brace or the stock or the optic or the grip deems it to be a bad gun, or if they'll let us keep the gun. This is not going to end well. And I think so. I think so many people have kind of reached this point where they think, oh, well, you know what? We just got to get through this. That's the mindset that got us to where we are today. I cannot tell you how many people last year said, listen, it's just a mask. It's just a lockdown. It's just another month or so. Fauci said by September, August, you know, it was going to be done, 2020. Oh, it's just for the election. Once the election's over, everything's going to go back to normal. It's not going back to normal, guys. You have to get that through your skull. It's not going back to normal. The only way it goes back to what we want it to is if we make it go back to the way we want it to. And we can still do that peacefully. But we have to stop acting like sheep. And we have to start standing our ground. You can't be running around wearing a mask on your face because somebody told you to do it. Now, if you really want to go and throw on like an A50 respirator, you know, biological filters on it, that's something you really think you should be doing, by all means. I have one. I own one. I've worn it before numerous times. It covers up your eyes. It covers up your mouth. It basically, you know, protects you if that's really what you want to wear. But this whole thing of putting a little piece of cloth over your mouth to muzzle you like a dog so everybody else feels happy is the stupidest thing I've ever watched people still continue to do. And that's why you've been so adamant about it. That's why I've been so adamant about it. And that's why I was so mad when Southeastern University, my school that I graduated from, has gone completely and totally liberal now. They're making the kids wear masks inside the class, but the professors don't have to wear masks at all. It's the stupidest thing I've seen. And I told them, I said, why aren't the kids saying no? Why say no? Yeah. Get together. You got meetings. You got social media. You got text. We have all of the platforms to communicate and coordinate with one another, and nobody is using it. Everybody's sitting back and going, oh, we'll just get through it. We'll just get through it, because people are paralyzed in fear. Fear and hope are the two most effective tools to control a populace. You make them scared and terrified of something. Whether it be the boogeyman, whether it be a virus, whether it be a terrorist, you make them scared. You make them desperately fearful. Then you come in and say, well, if you do this, we'll help you out and we'll protect you. We'll give you hope. Well, you just do this. You do a little bit more and we'll protect you some more. Well, we have to take this right away. You got to give up this liberty, but we'll give you some more protection. But at the end of the day, it's nothing. They give you nothing and they take everything. That's why it made me so irritated when bobblehead Fauci, still the fact that he's on TV and people are giving him any type of thought of making factual statements boggles my mind. He literally was on TV on Sunday and said people need to start dealing with the fact that they need to give up their personal liberties and stop being concerned about your liberties. And we're fighting a war right now with the virus. Literally, you need to give up your personal liberties. You can't be so concerned about your personal liberties. Are you joking me? When he said that, man, I wanted to knock him upside the head when I saw it. I said, boy, you're lucky you're not in person with me. You make a comment like that to people down here in Florida. Well, some people down here in Florida. Florida's turned pretty soft, sadly. A lot of people move down here from up north, and they're just soft. But, yeah, Doug, it's coming. And so I encourage people, man, it's our responsibility to take care of our families, our friends, our country. It's our responsibility to stand up and stay healthy and say, no, I'm not going to get this experimental injection, period. I'm not going to wear a mask, period. I'm not going to lock down, period. These are the things we have to start doing right now if we want to have any remnants of a country for our children in the next couple of years.
You know, again, I'm very, I want to be very cautious of what I'm saying here. I think we've turned a corner, and we've turned a corner on the international stage with the way Afghanistan was orchestrated. And you pointed this out initially. And if I'm not mistaken, some time ago, and this was during the Trump era, and I have to go back through the tapes, but I think you and your father were talking about this very thing happening back a year and a half ago when President Trump was talking about the withdrawal of troops. But that aside, everything is going to plan by the globalist schedule, I believe. And it's been hyper-extended or hyper-accelerated, in my view, with the placement of Biden in office. This is not an intelligence failure. This is a feature, not a failure. And I think you're going to see China now move again, perhaps against Taiwan, perhaps somewhere in the South China Sea. Hey, even perhaps against the United States in some fashion. I think you're going to see, like you said, more shortages for various reasons from because of China. It's amazing how in the after Kissinger, that globalist opened up China with Nixon's nod. It's amazing how the industries just flocked over there and the manufacturing just flocked over to China. And now, you know, when we started to get it back under President Trump, started to at least a little bit, evening the tariffs and evening the trade wars and putting some sanctions, financial sanctions, things were getting a little bit better. At least they're moving a little bit better. But this is beyond partisan stuff. This is beyond party lines. I think if you look at the entire world as a crime scene, I think what we're seeing is multiple crime scenes in this larger, you know, in this area of crime. We're seeing multiple crime scenes. We're seeing some of the same co-conspirators in each of these crime scenes. And we're seeing the same end result from these crimes. And that's crimes against you and I, against humanity, for depopulation, for, and most assuredly, you know, again, the balkanization of America in order to get America off the world stage. So this globalist takeover can happen. And here we are. So, I mean, that's where I'm at right now in looking at everything. And as you mentioned, too, I found it very interesting. Mining.com, which I don't follow that much, but I do look at it. As you said earlier, $1 trillion motherload of lithium, of gold, of copper in Afghanistan. You think that's an accident? And China's right there.
Yeah, exactly. You think that they estimate between $1 to $3 trillion worth of natural resources under Afghanistan soil. The place is a motherload of essential elements and iron ore and copper and lithium. And think about what's happened now. They've already said this. The lithium strip mining is so toxic to the environment that pretty much everything around the area dies afterwards. And the problem with it is it doesn't yield a significant amount of lithium in order to make these gigantic batteries that they want everything to roll on. Mm-hmm. The whole lie that's being perpetrated, you know, basically perpetrated through the entire world right now, is that we have to stop all of this driving in vehicles because it's the emissions. It's killing the planet. What nobody talks about is the massive amount of pollution that lithium strip mining causes. And here's what nobody's discussing. Once they want to go full EV and all these vehicles are allegedly supposed to be running around, electric vehicles everywhere, everything's going to be lithium ion battery powered, and we dump all these other vehicles and there's hundreds of millions of us driving around with lithium ion battery vehicles, what happens when the lithium starts getting depleted throughout the whole world in 20, 30, 40, 50 years? What if they can't keep up with production? All of a sudden, oh, that's right. You can't drive a vehicle anymore because it's $500,000 for an electric Prius now. So you're going to have to basically take the train everywhere. Remember in the movie Hunger Games, and that film, I've been told by numerous people, is one of the most insightful films as far as showing us literally where they want us to be by 2050. I mean, it is textbook exactly what they want to do with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and et cetera. It is, you have multiple factions throughout the country, all basically kept apart from one another that do their jobs. One of them mines, one of them grows food, et cetera. Nobody has a vehicle. If you ever noticed that in that film, nobody has vehicles except for the police, the military, and they run around in MRAPs, ironically. Everywhere you go, if you want to go somewhere, you've got to take a train. That's all there is for transportation. It's only trains, and the military has planes and has MRAPs. There is no freedom of transportation. There is no ability to travel freely, unmolested on your way. This is why I've been so diametrically opposed to the EV push, and I will not support those vehicles under any circumstances. And I will fight tooth and nail as long as I can to operate, buy, service, maintain, and use freely my gasoline or diesel-powered vehicles. People don't have any idea what's coming right now if we go down this road and we go to this full controlled electric grid system that they want. They're putting everything into place and they're expecting, exactly like I said earlier, everybody to consent and follow orders and go along with it. How about everybody just says, no, I'm not going to buy an electric vehicle. No, I'm not going to give up my gasoline or diesel powered vehicle. It will reach a point where if everybody complies with the EV, you're not going to have a choice anymore. Because what they'll do is they'll run gasoline up to $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 a gallon. But if we still keep the supply, we still keep the demand, we still keep the production, we still keep doing what we're doing that has worked so well for the last 100 years, that isn't going to be an option. That's why it's so important we all continue to get the truth out there and stand for our convictions as hard as we possibly can right now. And like you said, it's not coincidence this is happening right now in Afghanistan. It's not coincidence we're trucking in Afghan men to the United States. It's not coincidence we just gave the Taliban billions of dollars worth of equipment and weaponry. It's not coincidence that ATF is trying to ban all Americans essentially from owning any legitimate weapons. It's not coincidence China's moved into Afghan now and is trying to mine it. None of this stuff is coincidence. These banker boys that are running the show, they do everything planned accordingly to the way they want to do it. There is no accidents with this stuff. So be aware and realize it's not going to stop until we all come together in unison and say, no more. We are not going to tolerate this type of behavior. We have a government by the people, for the people, very specifically in the Constitution. It's a government for the people. And right now, there is nothing being done for the people. And only everything's being done for the banker boys. And that's what we have to start addressing.
You know, yeah, you're 100% right. And I think what we need here, as you mentioned, as we've been talking, I think what we need here in order to, your guest earlier this week said it right. We need civil disobedience in order to stop what, you know, would be a very ugly, very bloody conflict in the streets. And I think that that's what we need. And if everyone listening to this program, even though I am not optimistic today, given the environment in which we find ourselves, but if everyone would just take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to wear a mask to the store, you know, because most people wear them just to avoid, you know, conflict. No, I'm not going to wear a mask. No, I'm not going to, in fact, I'm not going to visit your store if you require the clot shot. And if people would start really talking sensibly to others, red pilling others about really what's in this, what they know to be or what the scientists have shown to be in this clot shot, the graphene oxide, the spike proteins and all this and what it's doing. You know, if we can't educate the people, we can't change their minds, then we're going to have to amicably separate in some fashion or otherwise we're going to duke it out. And I don't want to see that. I'm seeing doctors getting threatened. I'm seeing just so many things taking place. And like the last guest, we're talking about, them coming to your door and, mandating the shot or taking you off to these quarantine zones for the unvaxxed. And I said very simply, I even though I'm going down, I'm going to redefine violence. I'm going to redefine the word violence because I'm going to take some others with me. And if everyone did that, maybe our children might have a chance or our grandchildren might have a chance. I don't know. I don't have the answers. And I know every commenter, not everyone, but 99% of the people who comment on this video, this show, or others like it, they got all the answers. They got all the answers. If you're so smart, good on you. Good. But I don't have the answers. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely, and that's why I've been trying to encourage everybody and try to lead by example the best I possibly can. And I mean, that's why down here, the Polk County School Board is not reinstituting mask mandates for the kids after we came in and just absolutely raised hell a couple months back. And, the more people start standing up in unison, the more difference we can make on stuff. And that's the part that everybody has to remember is we're in this as patriots together. We have to continue to support one another and have each other's back and come together in groups if we need to do so. Because that's the same way you get things done. That's the same way the Revolutionary War was basically won, is that people were coming together, business owners, militia, military, everybody was coming together doing the best they could because they believed that that was the best option to go because they were not going to be told what to do. And so that's the point now where we're at, is we have to start getting back to that mindset. And you're not going to tell us what to do. You're not going to try to force this upon me against my will. I will not consent. Like Dad said the other day on the show, he said, is there any possibility? Somebody asked him, would you ever get the shot? He said, absolutely not. I would never voluntarily get this shot. He said, now if somebody, they check me at a car point stop and basically black bag me and 10 people hold me down and check me. He said, I can't do much about that except getting, basically a gunfight. He said, but, other than that, no, absolutely not. And I don't think there's something about this injection, this gene therapy. There's something about it, and it has to be consensual. The weird guys that build this stuff and the weird bankers and the pharmacologists and all these guys that are working on this stuff, these pharmacy companies, they want you to consent to it. It's like this rite of passage. Like once you consent to it, you've now given them permission to do whatever they want to you. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people have failed to realize is consent is always an option. You have the right to say yes. You have the right to say no. And people have to start remembering that, Doug, and continue to stand up. And that's why we encourage people, take your health into your own responsibility. It's not the collective group. It's not society. It's not the government's responsibility to keep you healthy. It is your responsibility to keep yourself healthy, to take care of your body, take your supplements, eat clean food, get sleep, and continue to push through this and stand up for your convictions, man.
You've really spread a lot of truths today. And I think people might say, well, I know this kind of stuff. I know this stuff. Well, if you know it, then let's act on it. And I believe really, honestly, my health is my responsibility to the extent that I can control it. I don't have to smoke. I don't have to drink. I don't have to eat McDonald's. I don't have to drink sugar or eat sugar or drink sugar beverages, right? That's right. But the other part is make sure you're stocked up on nutritional supplements from Health Masters. Austin, thank you so much for being part of today's show. Really
appreciate it. Absolutely, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Folks, go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And stock up. Do so today before you can't anymore. If I was a downer today, I apologize. Steve Quayle tomorrow. Steve Quayle tomorrow. And thanks, by the way, In the Dark of Night, thanks for buying the book. It's on Amazon and at HagmanStore.com. Have a good night.